This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you're up, so are we. It's the early morning show. Think of it as a pre-show to the pre-show kind of thing.
Hell of a way to begin a day.
Tuck in Pittsburgh sports before the sun comes up. The Fan Early Morning Show is on. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into the early morning show. Cale Berger here with you, filling in for Matt Cole all week. Glad to be with you bright and early. A lot to talk about before we get you ready for the Fan pre-show and the Fan morning show at the top of the hour. And first thing I want to get to today, and this is something that I've seen, I guess it's going on for about a month now, with regards to the NBA restarting. Obviously, we're at a very pivotal moment in America right now with the racial tension, the ongoing fight for racial equality and social justice, battling institutional racism in this country. And this is the second time now where I've seen an NBA player who has said, we shouldn't be coming back and playing. That we should be focusing on the task at hand, the fight, this more important thing that is going on in our country right now. The most recent player to do so previously was Kyrie Irving, a guy who wasn't actually playing, going to be playing in the NBA's restart in the next about actually a month from now exactly today due to a season-ending injury. But Fred VanVleet, guard for the Toronto Raptors, obviously was one of the heroes of their title run last year, especially in the finals, a beloved player. VanVleet said, quote, it's terrible timing for the NBA's restart because of what these players are trying to accomplish, what the message these players are trying to communicate, and especially because the league is far and wide, mainly Black and African-American players, that he feels that it's a poor time, that it's not the right time to be going back and playing basketball when there's so much work to be done. And I 100% agree with Fred VanVleet. And, well, I agree with his sentiment. I don't 100% agree that the NBA, that basketball starting up, is going to take away from this fight, from the cause, from getting the word out. But I understand where he's coming from. And it's obviously something that I can't relate to directly. It's something that I agree with and that I stand with and that I definitely support in this fight that Fred VanVleet and others in America and in really around the world find themselves in. But I disagree with VanVleet that this is a terrible timing. That's the worst possible thing they can do is to go back and play basketball. Now, I probably think that it's a bad idea to play basketball given we're in the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic. That's a whole other story, and we don't have enough time in this 40-minute show to fully dive into the issues that are related to in terms of public health, in the health of these players the NBA getting back in about a month's time. But what I will say to Fred VanVleet, although I understand the sentiment, I disagree, because I think that the NBA platform is the perfect opportunity for the voices to be heard from these players and for them to be able to promote the change that they want to see and that they want to express and they want people to learn. And I think that had the NBA not be coming back and we'd still be stuck in quarantine here, and, you know, not to say that that's not stopping people from going out into the streets and voicing their opinion. Obviously, that's not the case. And the majority of those people are taking the necessary precautions from what you see, those protests around the country and around the world. But I think for these professional athletes, that obviously this cause is something very serious to them, something that they feel very passionately about, something that many of them has affected them directly, the issues of institutionalized racism, police brutality, all of these things. I would argue that the NBA, but going and playing on national TV in a place where the focus is, you know, you don't have all the extra noise and stuff that usually surrounds an NBA game and whatnot. It's basketball, and it's these players in a bubble by themselves in Orlando. I see this as the perfect opportunity to get that word out, get that message, to use their platform that they're already doing an excellent job of, to use their platform as even more of a way to educate people and to share their cause and to share their beliefs. Now, the number one reason is obviously the TV exposure. From what we've seen over the last week or so with what the NBA's plan is, they're basically trying to play six or seven games. They have about eight games for each team to finish out the regular season. That's basically for seeding purposes. And then they're going to go straight ahead and go into the actual, what will be the playoffs. And it's going to be 16 teams, best of seven each round, culminating in an NBA Finals. They're going to do that as planned. But this is going to be, I think, it is going to be so watched, and it is going to have every eye, every sports fan's eye in this country is going to be on the NBA. Because number one, and I'm not just saying this because I'm some NBA homer, but I'm saying that, or some crazy rabid NBA fan, some psycho that lives in Pittsburgh that's trying to convert everyone to an NBA fan. That's not the case. I think that the NBA is probably the second most popular sport in this country if we're talking professional. College football, I think, is probably second overall, but I think the NBA is clearly the second most popular sport in this country from coast to coast. And I think that that's going to have people's eyes glued to the TV screen watching what is going on. And the other thing is the NBA has a long history of supporting their players, encouraging their players to speak out about social causes, supporting their players in those instances. And that's not changing with what they're trying to do here in Orlando. The NBA is helping to spread the message. I believe it was 2 days ago, the NBA reports came out, the NBA is going to allow the players to replace the names on the back of their jerseys with social causes. You know, whether it is Black Lives Matter, whether it is, whatever cause it is, whether it's the name of people that have been affected, not just in the last few months here, but the decades and decades that African-Americans and Black Americans have faced in this country, whether they're going to put Breonna Taylor across the back of their jersey or Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd. Regardless of what it is, the NBA has opened that up as a possibility and said, hey, this is a way that we think this can be a method of us helping you spread the word, helping you spread this cause, not silencing the fight, not silencing the message because we're back to playing basketball. I think the NBA is doing a good job of trying to help and allowing the players the opportunity to be able to continue to express themselves. The other thing, too, is the NBA yesterday, the report came out that the NBA is going to have Black Lives Matter painted on every court, the three courts they're going to use there in Orlando, which I think is very powerful. In a predominantly Black African-American league, it's great to see that the NBA, a league that for a while already has been on the right side of this issue, that they're going to acknowledge that. They're going to plaster it all over the TV screens. It's going to be right there while you're watching the games. So the NBA is being proactive, I think, And, I mean, let's not get it twisted. The NBA is bringing this back, not, that's not the only reason why the NBA wants to bring the season back. They want to bring the season back because of money. That's obviously the ultimate goal of basically everything that happens in our American society. But I think it's a good steps by, they're good steps by the NBA to help, project the voices of these players, to lift their voices up even more and help them to reach a wider audience. The other thing, too, is the NBA, I think, has some of the most recognizable figures in professional sports in our country. One of those reasons is, obviously, they have stars like LeBron James, Steph Curry that are cultural icons. They've had those cultural icons in the past, whether it's Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Allen Iverson, Shaq, Kobe, whoever you want to name. But the NBA's stars, and that's the one thing that we're actually going to get to later in the show, to talk about how sports make stars, and that's what interests people. The NBA's done an excellent job of creating stars, cultivating stars, and these guys are recognizable across sports. If you're not even a basketball fan, you see LeBron James, you're going to listen to what he has to say. And LeBron has said, after Kyrie Irving got lambasted for his saying that, you know, we shouldn't be coming back and playing, it's going to take away from the cause, LeBron said, I think I will be able to still champion social justice and speak out against racial inequality and play basketball at the same time. Which he can, because he's LeBron James and he has an immense platform. In addition to being a ridiculously good basketball player, in my humble opinion, the best I've ever seen. But the NBA's players, the voices of the NBA are powerful. And even though guys like Kevin Durant may not be playing, guys like LeBron, guys like Steph Curry, those guys will be there in Orlando. And the NBA is going to lift their voices up as well. And those guys already have an immense platform, an immense brand, and people listen and people hear what they have to say. So for all those reasons, I understand where Fred VanVleet is coming from, because this is something that we don't want to take the momentum away from. We want to continue championing this cause. We want to continue supporting this cause and getting the word out and informing people of what's going on in this country. But I do disagree, respectfully, that the NBA can't be used as a weapon of good, a weapon of change in this fight, that they can't use this platform and turn this into an even bigger movement and utilize the exposure and their voices in the NBA to get their message out even farther and to even further this fight for racial justice and against systemic racism in America. So thank you, Fred VanVleet. I understand where you're coming from, but I actually think that the NBA coming back, regardless of there being a COVID-19 pandemic, I think it's going to be a great way to really further the cause and continue to get the word out that Black Lives Matter. More to come here on the Early Morning Show. Once again, Cale Berger filling in for Matt Cole. And coming up next, CBS Sports. They've been releasing these top 10 quarterbacks, top 10 running backs, all these lists of recent, as we all try to find content in this coronavirus pandemic. And they released their top 10 coaches in the NFL. Mike Tomlin was on the list, obviously. But I want to go through one name in particular that is ahead of Mike Tomlin, and I want to share my thoughts on that. That's coming up next here on the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Good morning, happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger with you, filling in all week for Matt Cole on vacation with family and friends. So hope Matt's enjoying himself, getting some much-needed time off. Much needed vacation, because, you know, ever since this pandemic started, I feel like no one's been taking vacation days and everyone's been going a mile a minute, especially here in radio for a while. So good for Matt. Take some days off, and thankful for him because I get to be here early in the morning talking with you. All right, we just talked about Fred VanVleet saying it's terrible timing for the NBA to return. I said I understand his sentiments, but I also think that, hey, you know, this might be the best way for them to get the word out, and this might give them a bigger platform than ever, especially considering the situation we're in this country in this pandemic, going out there and being on national TV from noon until 10:30 at night for the NBA players with the league helping alongside them might be the best way, an even better way to get the word out, to get the message out. So listen back with the radio.com rewind feature later in the day, or you know, right now if you want to, if you want to listen to that conversation about the NBA returning in just about a month. And I have to say, I'm very excited. And later this week, I'm going to give you kind of a rundown and try and convince you, if you're still that cynical Pittsburgh sports fan, that even though we don't have baseball yet, even though we don't have hockey yet, and football's months away, you still might not be able to get into the NBA. I'm going to try and persuade you. But obviously, we have a few more shows here this week, so that'll be coming up maybe on Thursday or Friday. But I teased before the break something that I saw on CBS Sports HQ, or I saw it on Twitter, I guess, yesterday, and it kind of made me scratch my head. They released their list of top 10 coaches in the NFL. Now, no, I'm not going to sit up here and say that Mike Tomlin wasn't on the list, because he obviously should be, and he came in at number 7. But I want to go through some of the names and talk about who was ranked ahead. Number 1, obviously Bill Belichick, even though he cheats and gets off scot-free with a slap on the wrist like we saw yesterday, and always seems to win in the end, getting Cam Newton and completely diverting the news cycle. Yeah, Bill Belichick is probably also one of the best coaches, if not the best coach ever. So yes, he's number 1. Andy Reid at number 2, finally got that Super Bowl last year. He's always been a great coach, an underrated coach, I feel like, until he won that championship. So Andy Reid. Number 3, John Harbaugh. You know, as much as it pains me to say this, because I know he's the head coach of the Ravens, the bitter rivals of our Pittsburgh Steelers, I like John Harbaugh, and I think he's a really good coach. And the way he's kind of switched up his entire philosophy to cater to Lamar Jackson and turn him into an MVP, I think has been really impressive. Number 4, Sean Payton. You know, I've always liked Sean Payton. A great offensive mind. Sure, we'll leave him there. But the two guys next. Number 5, Kyle Shanahan. And number 6, Sean McVay. 5 and 6, number 7, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. You know, it just really, really annoys me how underappreciated I feel like Mike Tomlin is. And you see, you know, especially when you watch like ESPN, a lot of those guys gush over Mike Tomlin, love Mike Tomlin, whether it's Stephen A. or Ryan Clark, obviously a former player, anyone that shows up on NFL Live, they gush over Mike Tomlin. But, you know, I think we have a tendency to overvalue guys for, you know, what have you done for me lately? And sometimes we fail to look at the entire picture and look at the entire body of work and entire resume. Specifically, I'm looking at Sean McVay. Because I do like Kyle Shanahan, and, you know, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm not saying McVay's a bad coach either. I just would say I'd rather have Mike Tomlin as my head coach. Now, I have no doubt Shanahan's on this list at 5 because he went to the Super Bowl last year, and the 49ers are a very good football team, and they should be a very good football team this year as well. And the Rams took a little bit of a step back last year, but they look to be, they'll be a good team this year as well, even though they're, have an aging roster with some of the older veterans they bring in, and complete lack of draft picks because they've traded those draft picks to get veterans. But when I look at Mike Tomlin, comparing Mike Tomlin with Sean McVay, Sean McVay's only been a head coach in this league for 3 years. Offensive coordinator before that in Washington with the likes of Kirk Cousins and others. Mike Tomlin entering his 14th season in the league, 13-year career as a head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Never had a losing season. Which I feel like is something that people always harp on with Mike Tomlin and point back to as a reason to defend him. I don't think we do it enough because I think that's something that's incredibly difficult to do in the NFL, especially in this modern era today with just the talent across the board. I mean, even the lowly New York Jets can beat you on any given Sunday or stuff like that. And yes, I know Mike Tomlin has his days once a season where the Steelers play down to an opponent. They lose a game they shouldn't do. But every team does that, okay? The Patriots every year lose a game to the Titans or somebody that they shouldn't lose. But Mike Tomlin last year really kind of just blew my mind with the way that the coaching job that he did leading the Steelers with no Ben Roethlisberger, with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph struggling to play quarterback for this team last year, and nearly getting them to the postseason with what they had on that offensive side of the football, I think was a masterpiece in coaching. I also think Mike Tomlin is a master motivator. I think that, you know, I really love the style that Mike Tomlin uses with his players. I like how he treats them like men, and he treats them like co-workers. He doesn't treat them like kids or like they're his underlings or something. He treats his players like equals, and it's a we're all in this together kind of mentality. And I love that about Mike Tomlin, because some people bash the player's coach mantra or player's coach idea. I tend to like it. And I think that's, if I was a player, that's what I would want out of my head coach. But Mike Tomlin also has been to two Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl, won it in his second season. You look at Sean McVay, reached the Super Bowl in his second season, didn't win it. We saw how that turned out against the New England Patriots a few years ago. My thing is this. I think there's a tendency, and as much as I want to defend the young guys in a lot of sports, especially when in terms of the athletes, because I think we kind of see the greats, or as we call them, in rose-colored glasses and diminish what the current guys are doing. It's especially true in the NFL and in the NBA. With Sean McVay, he's only been in the league 3 years. And I know that after their first season and they went to the Super Bowl, everyone wanted to hire everyone that ever shared a table or shared a cab with Sean McVay or he ever had a conversation with. They went through his followers on Instagram and decided they wanted to hire him as head coach in the NFL. I get that. And I know that that's how it works in this environment, in this coaching profession. Obviously, looking for the next hot young guy. And Sean McVay is still one of the hot young guys. I think he's the youngest coach in the NFL still. But I'm not taking Sean McVay over Mike Tomlin. I look at Mike Tomlin's body of work. I look at the type of leader Mike Tomlin is. I look at Mike Tomlin's personality, how he fits perfectly with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if I'm being honest, I think Mike Tomlin should probably be a top five coach in the NFL. He should be number five on this list. And if I had my choice between Sean McVay or Mike Tomlin, I'm going to say it. I'd rather have Mike Tomlin. More to come here on the Early Morning Show. One more segment before we get you ready for the fan pre-show with Chris Mack and Jim Colony. Colin's still off today. He'll be back tomorrow until Chris takes off the next 3 days. And I want to talk about baseball because I'll admit right now, I'm not a huge baseball fan. Really wasn't until I came to Pittsburgh and started working for the Pirates flagship when I started to pay attention all that much. But I feel like there was a very big missed opportunity for baseball as they went through these labor disputes and infighting, trying to get back and start the season here amid the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm going to tell you what that opportunity was missed coming up next here on the Early Morning Show. I'm Cale Berger. Welcome back on the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger with you. Happy to be filling in for Matt Cole. And if you want to listen back to any parts of the Early Morning Show from today, if you're not awake right now especially, listen back with the Radio.com Rewind feature. Talked about the NBA returning and how that could be a bigger platform for the social justice fight currently in this country, and talked about how I'd rather have Mike Tomlin as my head coach than Sean McVay, and how they're underestimating the Steelers head coach as he enters his 14th season at the helm of the black and gold. All right, final thing here before we get you ready for the fan pre-show with Chris Mack and Jim Colony here at 5:40. Baseball. You know, I talked about it a little bit ago. I'm not a huge baseball fan. I definitely wasn't a huge baseball fan growing up. I grew up, if you haven't heard on this station, I bring it up a lot. I grew up in South Florida in Broward County. We had the Florida Marlins there. Literally no one cared. Everyone that I grew up with, went to high school with, went to middle school with, all that kind of stuff, all my buddies, none of us were baseball fans. And it was funny because I saw a tweet a few weeks ago that said that the MLB season would probably be played without fans. Obviously, that's going to be the case. I don't think any sports are going to have fans in 2020. That's just my opinion. But there was a tweet that said, well, you know, I think the Marlins might actually be in a good spot here because they've been playing without fans for 20 years. So maybe they are going to be accustomed to playing in an empty stadium, might give them an edge when Major League Baseball eventually returns here at the end of July. I got a chuckle out of that, but it's the truth. And I think the biggest issue that I have with Major League Baseball, and I think the biggest missed opportunity they had in this whole infighting and labor dispute they've had over the last few months or so, trying to find a way to get their season started amid this pandemic, was I think they really missed an opportunity to draw in the younger generation, my generation, younger millennials, Gen Z, into this sport by not coming back and not being the only sport back. And I honestly think that they probably fell farther in, or they probably shortened the gap and got even closer, and soccer gained momentum because soccer was able to come back, and my generation already likes soccer. Soccer is already one of our favorite sports. It's why it's growing in this country. And I feel like baseball not coming back and not capitalizing on that opportunity being the only sport to watch was really a missed opportunity by them for a few reasons. I think baseball has done a really poor job in general of trying to draw in my generation and my age bracket. As I said on the show yesterday, I turned 23 on Saturday. Happy birthday to me. But, you know, baseball was never a sport that I, you know, loved growing up. It's a sport that when I came here to Pittsburgh and started working for, obviously, 93.7 The Fan, the Pirates flagship, I started to follow baseball, and I go to games because I like PNC Park and I like the view, and, you know, I like to take a good Instagram picture, maybe take a girl on a date to PNC Park or something. But I'm not really going out of my way to watch baseball. That being said, if they were the only sport on over the last few months, maybe in that case, I flip it on. Maybe I take in a Brewers-Rockies game or something like that, or you know, the Marlins taking on the Mariners. Maybe I throw that one on over the last few months here. But there wasn't baseball. And I think the MLB did, I think, irreparable damage to themselves that they'll never be able to get this age bracket back. They'll never be able to get this generation invested in baseball because they haven't been. Already, they didn't draw us in while we were young. They didn't hold on to us as we grew older. And they had an opportunity now to, a last chance to grab us, to pull us in, to show us the America's pastime. And they didn't do it. And there's plenty of reasons why baseball didn't come back. You know, I mainly blame the owners for being a little greedy and didn't want to pay anybody their prorated salaries, trying to grandstand and act like baseball is not profitable, which we obviously know it is. But you look at the things that baseball has done, that does, and it's just so infuriating because, you know, you look at, I talked about it earlier, you look at the way the NBA is structured. They market their stars. They create stars. You know why the New Orleans Pelicans have by far the easiest schedule in the NBA's 8 games for seeding purposes, finishing out the regular season prior to the playoffs? Because they want Zion Williamson to become a star. They want him in the playoffs. They want to make him into a household name even more than he already is. Well, unfortunately, baseball doesn't do that. You can ask any Joe Schmo on the street that isn't a baseball fan who Mike Trout is, and they're going to think he's an insurance salesman or that he works at a car dealership or something. Part of that's Mike Trout being boring, but part of that is baseball doing an absolutely horrible job of marketing Mike Trout. The other thing, too, is they try to change things in the game. Well, first of all, I can't stand the unwritten rules and stuff. There's no personality in baseball. And they try to push down and to diminish the personality in baseball. Tim Anderson is the player for the White Sox in Chicago that does all the bat flips. I love that. We need more of that. That's why the NFL finally did the right thing by allowing the players to celebrate, have the choreographed celebrations and stuff. It's a game. It's fun. I don't think for flipping the bat after you jack a home run for 400 feet that you should be beamed in the head with the ball because you were happy about it. If you don't want the guy to celebrate, don't throw him a meatball over the plate. But the fact that baseball continuously, they want to try and stop this, it's annoying, frankly. And it doesn't do any service to grow popularity in the game to make it fun. But then they also, and this is the last thing because we got to get going here. I saw in there, they're bringing the DH to the National League. That's cool. No one wants to watch these pitchers bat. As much as they want to tell you, as much as Joe Musgrove wants to tell you that he likes to bat, that's great. Too bad you can't hit. I mean, pitchers can't hit more often than not. And it slows down the game and it kills rallies and it's not enjoyable. So it's good to bring the DH in. But then they want to start a runner on second base when you go to extra innings to make the game go faster. Listen, the game could go faster. I'd like that. But I want the game to go as long as possible when we're in the 11th inning because that's when the drama is. That's when the real meaty stuff, when you're really invested in any you could, they could hit a home run at any time and get a walk-off or, you know, stuff like that. Don't try and end it quicker then. Try and end it quicker when you're in the third inning and someone got shelled and now you're on your third pitcher and the guy who's only faced one batter and he gets pulled out of the game. That's what we need to be changing about baseball. So I think baseball's got their priorities way out of whack. They had an opportunity, a really good opportunity, to draw people in like me, to draw people in like my generation. And you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't come back. They didn't make it a priority to come back and be the only sport that was playing during this pandemic. And now they're going to be competing with the NBA, who's the second most popular sport in this country, and the NHL, if they could figure out where they want to play, because I'm surprised, I'm really baffled they haven't figured that out yet. But until they're not going to be able to regain this market share they lost trying to go up against those two sports. And it's really a missed opportunity for baseball to try and extend their life, their lifespan, the longevity of this sport, by not drawing people like me and my generation in. And that's clearly a missed opportunity by Major League Baseball. This has been the Early Morning Show. Thank you for tuning in. Love hanging out with you every morning at 5 a.m. Once again, you can listen back with the Radio.com Rewind feature or listen to the podcast later in the day as well. Coming up next, it's the Fan Pre-Show with Chris Mack and Jim Colony right here on 93.7 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.